Welcome back to Glow Girl. We're a weekly podcast where we talk about woo and wellness and making our way in this wild world. I'm Tracy White, as always, and I am here this week with a bunch of very special guests. This is sort of like Glow Girl, Girls Girls, witchy crossover week here in the Girls Girls Media multiverse of podcasts. And so we have with us today Brittany Gibbons and Meredith Solo from the Girls Girls podcast joining us. And we are all together talking to one of our very favorite podcasters, spiritual mentors, Kelly Dawn from the Awaken Your Inner Witch podcast and her own multiverse of spiritual offerings. So welcome, Kelly. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me.
We are so excited that you're here. So I know that I know that we kind of all, this podcast, Glow Girl, we're very spiritual. We're very woo focused, but we are also learning our way in all of these, in all of these different practices. Many of us who, and myself included, are sort of beginning this, you know, kind of witchy way of this, you know, new part of our life. And can you tell us a little bit about how you found your way here, into your spiritual practice?
Yeah, for sure. So it started for me back when I was really young. I first got introduced to the spiritual side of things when I was about, I'm not sure how old I was, but it was around kindergarten age, however old kids are at that age. And my mom used to have these parties with her girlfriends and they would play with a Ouija board. We lived in this old farmhouse and her friends would drink white wine and play with a Ouija board. And it was just like a fun game for them.
That sounds like an amazing evening, to be honest.
I was never allowed to take part in it, but I knew about it. I was just like, oh, I want to go to the basement and play with the board with you guys. But they contacted the spirit. His name was Jesse. He lived in the house. And so we'd have like flashing lights and doors closing and things like that, like, and old house noises, I'm sure. But I was never scared of it. And I was really intrigued. And then later on, when I was around 9 or 10, I got into divination. I found this book at the local mall and it had like astrology and palm reading and things like that. And I carted that thing around like a Bible and I highlighted it and I made notes and I like studied it inside out. And then it transitioned into more of like the witchcraft thing around the age of 14. When I picked up this book, the first half of the book was on folk magic and more like spell work. And the second half of the book was on Wicca. And at the time, the only real religion I'd ever been exposed to or spiritual path I've been exposed to was Christianity. So I saw this book and I was like, there's a whole religion around witchcraft and spells and magic. Like, what the heck? And I was like immediately drawn to it. And that was sort of like the, I guess, the beginning stage of my witchcraft practice. And then over the years, I put spirituality on the back burner, didn't really give it too much thought. And then later on in life, I really bounced between Christianity and witchcraft. And I was always really torn between two things because I felt really drawn to the community and like the, like, I guess the positivity that I was experiencing in church, because I was in Pentecostal churches where they were calling down the Holy Spirit, raising energy, and everyone was clapping and singing all the time. I'm like, this feels amazing. But I didn't really believe everything they were teaching. And then I would swing towards witchcraft because that always just felt more natural. But I was always a solo practitioner. So I felt kind of lonely with that. And then over time, I just decided to stick with the witchcraft thing. And I do whatever feels right for me. So in the past, I would put real limitations and boxes around what I was supposed to do with my spiritual practice. And now I've opened it up where if I want to incorporate different elements into my own witchcraft practice, I feel complete freedom to do that. And I'm not doing anything wrong. So it started off in childhood. It was like a big thing for me back then, just being part of nature. And I used to go for walks on our property and just sit on a rock and listen to the world around me. And I feel that was sort of like a big spiritual awakening. And then it shifted, I ebbed and flowed and came back to it. And now it's sort of this mishmash in the best way possible of all the different things that I've picked up on my spiritual journey.
I really think that's where we are right now. I mean, honestly, even a lot of people in my friend group, we get to the point when you talked about putting those boxes around things. Like, you just get to the point where you get to an age or a time or just current time period where you're like, what I believe isn't wrong. Like, these things that I'm feeling and believing, they can all exist together, like at one time. And I was raised Catholic, so the lines around my practice and religious were very thick and strong. Like, though, it was very boxed, it was very, you know, very stern and what that was. And after a while, as you can just only hit the sides of those walls so many times, when you're like, I don't think this box is where I'm supposed to be. And it's so true. And what's been so exciting, like, as like my spirituality has grown and evolved, thanks in part to you, is that I'm allowed to take the parts that feel right and keep those, and put down the ones that don't feel right at all. And sort of this new, I don't know, belief system that I have that is purely custom and my own.
It's a beautiful thing to be able to kind of adapt what works for us and, you know, and leave what doesn't. And, you know, and then also leave some things that, you know, maybe also don't belong to us, you know, because there are a lot of spiritual practices out there that seem to be sort of delving into areas that maybe don't belong to all of us, depending on our particular heritage. And so having more knowledge and having more ability to understand everything that is out there, you know, really gives us a lot of freedom, like you said, to be able to choose what works for us and what is for us. One thing that we've been talking about here on the Glow Girl podcast for a little while is that, and I don't know your specific age, but a lot of us are born in this Neptune generation. Neptune is a generational planet way far out there. Most of us are born, you know, within a 16-ish year cycle of our Neptune generation of people. And Neptune is our planet of our spirituality and the deep woo, you know, that we get in touch with or we don't get in touch with. And many of us, I'm 40. I know Brittany is 20, right up on that 40. And so a lot
weird
of us
that you miss. Calculated that math, but keep going.
We're this Neptune Sagittarius generation, and Sagittarius is a planet that is about exploration and knowing and experiencing everything that is out there, and really being one of the most open-minded and embracing of the signs. And so that Neptune Sagittarius generation of people, we are all you know, turning a certain age right now and exploring every single spiritual path that's out there for us. And it's a beautiful thing to see.
I definitely appreciate the teachers. I actually, Kelly, I found my way into your group, which was just so great to connect with these women and connect with you. And just, I appreciate the people who take the time to teach and learn, and not everybody's obligated to do that to me, but Lord, do I appreciate the ones that do, because I stumble everywhere. And so it's really nice just to have somebody to sort of like grab me by the shoulder and pick me back up and tell me, like, you know, this is the way, or look here, or explore this. And that's really exciting. And I find that you do a really, really good job at doing that. So I deeply appreciate what you do, Kelly.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, the group is fantastic. The group is also Awaken Your Inner Witch, like the podcast, yes?
The group is The Witch Revolution.
The Witch Revolution, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if the name had changed or something. But can you tell us a little bit, is this kind of what you are, for our listeners who haven't listened to your podcast, is this kind of what your podcast revolves around?
Yeah, so the podcast has definitely gone through a few different phases, I guess. It started off, like, the earlier episodes are very, like, how-to style episodes, like how to psychically communicate with animals and things like that, and, like, specifics around spell work. And then what I started to notice is that I was really feeling called to talk more about mindset and manifestation and bring business into it, because I do both. Like, I talk about the spiritual stuff as well as business. And I was really feeling like I was leaving some stuff out. So now it's a mix of, like, business growth, but the majority of that is still around, like, mindset and energy and things. And then I'll still touch on the witchcraft. But for me right now, what I'm feeling called to really teach on is more about personal power and trusting your intuition, as opposed to the mechanics or the how to. Right now.
Okay. And then speaking of how to, how do we learn how to trust our intuition? That's a big question, I know, but I think we all struggle with that.
Oh, yeah. Deeply. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the best thing to do if you're brand new to this and you're thinking like, what the heck do I do, is start trusting yourself with smaller decisions. So if you're at the grocery store and you're deciding what to pick up for dinner, you know, sometimes we get there and we start overthinking, like, and with these little decisions, sometimes it don't really mean that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. We can get up in our head really easily. So I always recommend that people start trusting their intuition with those smaller things. Like, do I want the, you know, the chicken salad or the roast beef or whatever, and just going with that initial gut feeling and getting used to knowing what a yes feels like in your body, because our intuition isn't coming through our head. It's not like a logical thinking thing. It's this feeling that we get. And some people feel it in their gut. They might feel it in different areas of their body, but it's that initial like, boom, message that comes through. And the more we get used to listening to that and to following that, that's when we can start trusting it with bigger things.
I like that. I've made no secret that I struggle with manifestation, and it's not because I don't want to do it. It's because I find the task so daunting that I feel like if I don't do it right the first time, then I just can't do it. And I immediately just, I have a very defeatist outlook on manifestation, which is the opposite of manifestation. But I like the idea of like starting and getting what it's supposed to feel like almost like muscle memory of how manifestation is supposed to work. I like that. I can do that. I just feel like coming out of the gate with like a gigantic vision board and like hoping for millions of dollars, I always fail at that one. So I just always write it off.
So the cool thing with manifestation is that we're doing it 24/7. So we can never really screw it up because it's something that we do naturally. So for people who are sort of feeling a little intimidated by it or at the earlier stages of their journey, I always suggest that they just tune in and ask themselves what they truly desire. And it might be something like the $1 million or the dream house or something like that, but it could be something a lot more simple. Like, you know what? I really desire to have a bubble bath this afternoon, or I really desire to watch Netflix instead of doing the other thing that I had on my calendar that I can reschedule for another day. And tuning into this feeling of, what do I really feel called to do? What do I actually want? Because I feel we're programmed from a very young age to not trust ourselves and to not know what we actually want, because we have this system where we go to school, we do the college thing, we get the job, we get the family with the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence. And like, there's this path that a lot of people are trained to follow down. So when we ask ourselves, like, what do I truly desire? For a lot of people, that can block them right there. So the first piece is just really asking yourself, like, what do I want? And again, going back to those smaller things, just to get used to the feeling of what being led towards your desire feels like.
Yeah, I like that. That is very doable for me. I really like that. That's a very attainable goal. I've been apparently overshooting this entire thing. I should have just brought it down. Like, I'm going to need to start classes with you immediately because I've been just totally doing this wrong.
So manifestation and then also meditation. Okay. So these, I think, are two topics that are bringing a lot of people to podcasts like yours, podcasts like Glow Girl. And these are things that are becoming a lot more mainstream. A lot of very famous people are talking about these things very openly. Meditation is also another thing that I don't think it comes naturally to a lot of us. How do we kind of find our way with meditation too?
For this, I feel that starting off small and consistent is so, so important. So if the idea of sitting down to meditate for 10 minutes is just like, ooh, no, like there's no way I have the time for that. I can't focus for that amount of time. Start with like 2 minutes, start with 1 minute, and just get in the habit of sitting down. What I like to do is I have a specific space where I sit down to meditate every day because I like bringing in that ritual aspect of things, but just sit down for 1 minute, 2 minutes, and just slowly increase. But it's so challenging for us in this day and age because like with social media and technology at our fingertips, we have so much coming at us constantly. And I think back to like when I was a kid, I was raised in the country and I'm 43. So I remember what life was like without the internet. And I remember feeling so much more calm and grounded and centered just naturally because I wasn't plugged into the rest of the world all the time. And so even doing things like checking in to see how much time you're on social media and staying offline as much as possible can help with meditation because there's not that constant addiction to it. And then you know, you work your way up to like maybe 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day. But what we really want to do with meditation is just create space so we can hear ourselves. Like we can actually hear our true voice instead of the voice of our parents or the voice of, you know, the influencers on social media or whoever else might be just like in our head. We just get to be able to like shut those noises out. And that's when it comes back to this, what do I actually desire? Like, what do I feel like doing today? Like, what do I feel like creating in my life right now? And then we're able to get those answers that are actually in alignment for us instead of hearing answers that are coming from outside voices that aren't anything that we actually truly desire.
Okay. Yeah. That makes it so much more approachable.
And I think about kind of what you were saying a lot in terms of like, I have three kids ranging in age from 14 to 11. And I often just sit and look at them and realize that they don't know how to be still or bored or unentertained or just anything. And I remember I'm close to your age. And I remember just being sometimes doing nothing at all as a kid. Nothing was happening. I wasn't being in any way stimulated at all. I was probably bored, like just sitting there staring at something. And my kids don't have that. And I worry about their ability to have stillness or meditation or any of those things, because even now, half my life having internet, half my life not, essentially, I struggle with it. They won't have any idea where to put stillness or
guys, I almost just died. And I just am here late to this show because my phone died at the vaccine clinic. I could not communicate to anyone how late I was definitely going to be for this podcast today. And it was like a whole panic attack happening because I had a dead phone, right? And so I could not even communicate with people. And that almost like pushed me over the edge right now just to sit in stillness to like do something that's life-saving for myself. Like I wanted to leave the vaccine clinic and just not get my vaccine because my phone died. That's how much it made me crazy. Why are we like this?
I told you guys, it's all the microchips. They got into her phone.
They did. We're addicted.
It is. It's so weird though. Like I do want to get good at meditation too. Because I just feel like I need it. Just in my soul. And I'm trying, but yeah, I do feel personal wins though. Kelly, you're right. When I get like on Sunday, when they send that little notification on your phone, like your screen time has decreased by 6%. I'm like, hell yeah, 6%. Like I take it. It's a win for me. Like I was on my phone less this week than the week before. This is amazing news.
Yep. I do the same thing. I read a book recently. It's called Digital Minimalism. And it's so, so good because it talks about a lot of things that we already know. Like most of us know that we're on our phones too much, but it really goes into detail about the effects of that. And like with our anxiety and stress and things like that. And also the author shares some really cool stories about people who lived before the internet and the different things they did to find peace and solitude, even before technology was a real thing.
I love it. Can you imagine that life? Yes, I can. I wish I was raising my kids in that life.
We all lived it.
I have a 6-year-old and I am deeply into the woo. And so, so your story makes me think that maybe she's destined for understanding a little bit of this. Although she did just come up here to tell me very loudly about something that just happened on YouTube. So then I worry a little also. So we have, like I said before too, manifestation and meditation are two things that are very big in spiritual circles, even like the spirituality light, you know, and self-help, realms that are kind of very popular right now, but people who are getting a little bit deeper into those practices are finding themselves wanting more. And so that's, I think a lot of people are coming to witchcraft through those channels. And so people who are listening to us now and people who are listening to your podcast may be describing themselves as like a baby witch. People who listen to Glow Girl definitely come to us that way. I describe myself that way. How, in your opinion, should a baby witch kind of dip their toe into witchcraft these days?
So starting with something that you really feel drawn to, I feel is going to be a lot more beneficial than trying to do all the different things with witchcraft, because especially at the beginning stage, it can be really tempting to like go into a bookstore, Amazon, I guess these days, and you have so many different topics. Like there's crystals and herbs and astrology and like all these really cool things that you can dip your toe into. But what I noticed for myself when I was doing that is just, I felt pulled in a bunch of different directions. So if you just focus in on the thing that feels the most like yes for you and dive a little bit deeper into that and get used to doing that and bringing smaller pieces into your, like, say if you're meditating already and you're really drawn to crystals. Well, if you start maybe holding a crystal while you meditate and just getting used to what it feels like to have its energy around you, those smaller steps are going to be better for you over time, because you're not going to be overwhelmed with a bunch of different information and you're going to really be able to integrate what you're learning a lot easier than if you're trying to, like, you know, go to some sort of mental Hogwarts where you have a class over here on this topic and that topic. But I feel like going, again, the sort of like baby steps can be the best thing, because then you're really learning and then you're getting a feel for what else you're pulled towards, because it's like this rabbit hole that we go down, right? We're drawn to one thing and then this other thing over here sort of sparks our interest and we move in that direction. But knowing that there's no end to it, like we're never going to get to this place where we're going to graduate to like witchcraft professional. Like that's not like a thing. It's a practice for a reason, and going at your own pace, doing what feels really good for you is the main thing, because like we talked about earlier, it's so unique for us. Like we literally get to make up our practice any way that we want it to be. So as long as you're doing things that really light you up, that feel good, that feel nourishing for your soul, that's going to be the best kind of practice for you.
Kelly, when I first started putting my toe into witchcraft, I went all fucking in. Like, oh, I was like, I have to learn about tarot cards. I have to know what every single crystal does. I have jars of rotting food all over this house with spells inside of them, like all the way in, to the point where my husband looked at me and he was like, there are moldy jars everywhere. This looks like mental illness. Can you please help me understand what you're working on right now? And I looked at it and I was like, okay, this does sort of look like mental illness when I stand back and look at what I'm doing to my home right now in regards to witchcraft. And in fact, I think that I went so hard in the paint into it that it almost was like too much. And then I just had to back off of it for a minute, because I was like, all right, now I feel like I have to follow all these rules again. So if someone like goes too hard, like I did, and then they just want to like ease back into it. But like, I mean, I found myself wondering, like, am I even supposed to be doing this? Is this like cultural appropriation over here? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, what's like a really good, like, just like little baby starting point? Like, I find for me, it's crystals. Is that pretty common with everybody? Like, everyone universally loves crystals and we're not pissing anyone off if we're working with them, like that type of situation?
Yeah, I think crystals they're a pretty good place to start. I don't work with them a ton in my own practice, but I feel they're easily accessible for most people. Like right. They're super low cost. You can get as many as you like. You can start small with them. But even doing something as simple as meditation, which is like the really boring answer that most people don't really want to hear, but getting a regular meditation practice down is going to help you more as a witch than anything else, than any other tools will. So even starting with like 5-10 minutes a day of meditation can be a really powerful way to get into things.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you. Okay. So Kelly, you are a coach for witch and spiritual entrepreneurs. And I've taken two of your courses and I loved them both. They did me a lot of good. But one thing that I've liked about watching you through this journey, and it's something that we talk about often on this show, is the importance of women undervaluing themselves and how they need to raise their damn rates. And I've watched you on your journey start smaller. I've been a longtime listener to your podcast, Awaken Your Inner Witch. And I've watched you, you know, create these courses and coaching and one-on-one coaching, and I've watched you raise your rates. So I'm always giving advice for this. I'm interested in hearing what your advice is on how women should figure out what they should be charging people for their services and how to charge those better rates.
I love this question. So if we look at the overall transformation that someone's going to receive from our service, that is a lot better place to start than how much time am I spending with the person or things like that. Because we come from this background for most of us where we get paid by the hour. So it's very normal for us to think, well, if I'm spending, you know, 4 hours during this month-long program with people teaching and it's X number of dollars an hour, the program should be this much. But if you're teaching someone how to, you know, save their marriage, if you're teaching someone how to love themselves deeply so they're able to heal from past traumas or whatever it is, take a look at that actual transformation and it's probably going to be priceless. And then from there, ask yourself, what price just feels really, really good for me to deliver this content with or this experience with? And what I like to do is, if I'm feeling kind of stuck around a price, I'll think of a low price where I think like, okay, if someone paid this much, I'd almost feel like they were stealing something. Like it's almost like too low.
And I'm like insulting. Yeah, this like is insulting.
Yeah. Like we don't want to feel resentment around what we're charging. And then I swing to the other side. I'm like, okay, if I charge that much, that would make me feel like I'm getting away with things over here. So finding a price in the middle can be really helpful if you're kind of feeling unsure. But it's usually that initial gut feeling that you have. And when we don't overthink things, like that's because that's what we tend to do, especially as women, we get up in our head and we think, well, this person over here, they've been coaching for this amount of time and they're charging X number of dollars and I've been doing it for this long. And like we create all these really complicated stories in our head around how we should price our offers, but it's always what feels good in your gut. Because when it feels good in your gut, then we're going to be energetically aligned for it. We're going to call in the clients who are meant to be in there at that price point. And the whole experience for the client and for us as a coach or service provider is going to be like a million times better.
That's 100% true. I mean, I really when like you raise your rates, yeah, you get better clients. It's just what it is. Yep.
And I also like that you brought up that resentful feeling because I know that feeling really well. Whenever I agree to somebody at a lower price point for anything that I'm doing, I do always resent them. And it's not their fault. I agreed to it. I said I would do it at that price. And I'm angry at them the whole time I'm doing it. It's influencing the work that I'm doing. Like I just carry this around and I end up mad at these people who I voluntarily agreed to take on at this lower price point. And I just shoot myself in the foot every single time. I don't know why I keep doing it.
I have a whole group chat dedicated to this with you guys where I'm just pissed off because I'm doing work for $500 and I'm like, fuck this dude. And it's $500. And it's like, I'm the one that agreed to it. Right.
That is not a lie. I just went through this. I just went through this whole process of raising my rates and it felt scary and I felt really guilty for a while when I was considering it. And then when I put everything into place, I was like, okay, is this the end of my very new business?
Of Shine Bright Astrology. Goodbye, Shine Bright. No. But no, guess what happened? You still stayed booked, didn't you?
My calendar is solid. I had to take time off. And I had to close my calendar for a little while because I was overbooked. So definitely was the opposite problem than what I was expecting. And I don't feel bad about it now, but it was very scary.
It is very scary.
It's a really hard practice to break. I'm just going to tell you, like, I mean, even just the other day, we're planning next year's girls retreat and Meredith texted me with this beautiful rental and gave me the price point she was thinking for it. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. But inside I was like, oh my gosh, I don't
know. Yeah. And then what happened
for me? I know I'm getting there. I'm getting to that part of the story. I was sitting there and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I feel so bad. This is so much money, but I'm like giving up a whole week to get this stuff done. And it's really hard to get away from my family for a week to plan these retreats and all this
stuff. It's a lot of work, Brittany.
And
to put a retreat on.
Then she floated the idea in our Facebook group and there was like right away 40 responses of people wanting to do it. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Why have I been charging so little all these years? Like,
I mean, that's what the going rate
left
is.
And right. And like, yeah.
I think we could charge way more actually. Women's retreats cost a lot of money, but whatever. We're going to be good. Yeah. We're going to be good. Kelly, speaking of retreats and selling ourselves and all of that, one thing that you're super, like, I just, like, adore you. I don't know if you know this, but I'm, like, your super fan. Before the girls came on today, I was like, I'm so excited. I'm going to get my vaccine and interview my idol today. So, I think that you are so good at personal branding. Like, your pictures look amazing. Like, every time you talk, it's like you're talking directly into people's soul, and you're, like, so straightforward and transparent with people, and you've really got it down. Do you have any advice for people who want to put themselves out there and build a personal brand, but they're scared because, you know, you do have to get really real with people online if you want to build an online following? What advice do you have for them? And then you're really twofold in that, because I want to be more out about that fact that I'm a witch, but I'm so scared. Like, inside of Facebook groups, people know it. With people who listen to our podcast, they definitely know it. My mom's friends that are friends with me on Facebook have no fucking clue, right? So how do people just be who they are online and build that brand, a really authentic brand?
So first, I think knowing that people want you to be you is the main thing. And the more you are online, the easier it's going to be to attract people who absolutely love you. And I know at the beginning stage of my business, I thought I had to be a lot softer. I thought I had to be almost like professional in order for people to hire me. And I had, like, it was me, but it was like this watered down, very like vanilla version of me. And over the years, it's just been this unlayering of just becoming more and more of who I am. But knowing that when people get to see you, and it's not like we have to air our dirty laundry on social media or anything like that, but when people get to know your quirks and your sense of humor and who you are as a person beyond your business, that's what attracts them to you. Because especially now, we're craving human connection more than anything. In the online business world, we don't want, like, the, you know, the how-to formulas that are, like, generic and made for everyone. We want to know the person behind the product, behind the service. And the more we allow our people to see that, the better. So if there's resistance coming up around, like, being afraid to be seen, knowing that your people love that, that's what they want. And the more we hide, the more we hold back from not only connecting with our real people, but also sharing our true message and allowing our true work to come through. So it's really about moving through that fear, which, you know, I wish I could give an easy answer of how to do that, but it's really just practice. It's like doing those small things. Like, if you've never sworn in your business before, but you have total trucker mouth behind the scenes, you know, doing little things like that, like talking to your people and maybe speaking to them with some little swear words thrown in there once in a while, just to, like, get used to the fact that this is who I am, and take those baby steps if you need to, but know that your people are craving you. They're absolutely craving you. And then, like, with the witchcraft thing, I had a ton of resistance around not coming out as a witch, but coming out of the closet sort of when it comes to my own personal practice, because it's my belief that everyone has a unique practice that works for them, and there's no right or wrong way to do witchcraft. And then, of course, we can talk about cultural appropriation. That's a different story. But generally speaking, everyone can do what they feel called to do. And when I was teaching witchcraft in the beginning stages, I would talk very openly about, like, the things like crystals and herbs and things like that. But then the details of my own personal practice I kept hidden, because I was afraid that people would think I was into, like, evil things, or they would think I was a mean, bad person and they wouldn't like me.
Right.
And when I came out and started talking about, like, yeah, I do sex magic and I work with demons and, you know, this is what I'm into, I do blood work and things like that. And it repelled some people for sure, but they were never my people to begin with. And it really attracted people who they might not even be into the same thing I'm into, but they're into the fact that I'm open about it and that I'm confident enough to share that with my people.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about these evil spirits really quick. So you work with Lucifer, and I wonder, I think I've only learned through you, just so you know, because I was raised very fundamentalist Christian. Like, I have so much religious baggage that it's crazy. So when I first started reading about you and listening to you talk about working with different spirits, Lucifer in particular, like, piqued my interest because of the way I was raised. And it's not so scary, right? So that's what I've learned through you, is just, you know, the way Christianity has kind of skewed all of this to make people think you're evil, bad, but really what you're doing isn't at all. Do you want to talk a little bit about working with, like, Lucifer?
Sure thing. So I had a ton of fear and resistance around it. Even though I was practicing witchcraft, I spent a lot of time in church and I thought that I had left that behind me, but there was still this underlying fear because even if we're not in church, we're raised in a very Christianized world if we're North American. And it's important to remember, like, whenever we're coming up against fear around things like this, around different spirits that we might have been told are evil, we look at where did the story come from? And for the most part, these stories come from Bible fan fiction, not even the Bible itself sometimes, but more of what people were talking about around different things from that book. But it was coming from people who had a very specific way of looking at the world. And when we look at religions, for the most part, they were created in order to have things go a certain way. Like there's a lot of control and a lot
control
of
the masses. Yeah. I read Buckland's Book of Witchcraft, the blue one. And I was, these are things I had never read before. And I was like, what? They stole all these holidays? This is not, like, I had no idea how much Christianity just took from other religions. Yeah.
Propaganda. It's a propaganda machine.
It is a propaganda machine.
Bible fan fiction is my new favorite term, by the
way. Love it. It is Bible fanfic. It really is. So you came into working with different spirits a little apprehensive too, and then it all worked out okay with you.
Yeah. So what I did when I noticed that fear coming up is I started getting a lot more information from people who had positive experiences working with those spirits, because in the past I would hear about people being possessed by demons and having like weird shit happening in their houses and stuff like that. And then I would stumble across podcasts that led me to authors and different people who are doing magic in that way that had really positive experiences. And what they shared is that a lot of those negative experiences come from people who either have a ton of fear around working with those kind of entities to begin with, or they have a lot of baggage from a Christian background or another monotheistic background where those spirits are, were taught that they're evil. And so without that fear, things can be really healthy. Like the spirits that I work with, Lucifer included, some people might label them as evil, but I've never had a bad evil experience with them because I don't approach them from that energy. But if I were to sit down and think like, okay, I'm going to work with spirits and then call on, say, Lucifer, this spirit over here, and I'm completely filled with fear and anxiety, I'm going to start attracting things that are of that like energy. And we can get spirits coming into our reality that can play little tricks on us and tell us that they're one entity and really they're not. And there are spirits out there who are not here for our highest good. They're just here to, you know, cause trouble and kind of be dicks. But for the most part, when we're working with these entities, when we set the intention of who we want to connect with and we're in a nice, clean, clear energy, we're going to have a good experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's good to know. Do you girls have any spirits you work with?
I don't. See, I'm such a nerd for the math. Like when you talk about trying to find your way to one thing, I mean, Meredith kind of pulled me into more of, you know, more of the spiritual, more of the witchcraft light, you know, things that were easy to access, crystals, tarot, oracle cards, things like that. And I was like, I mean, I have a gigantic collection, but astrology has been my thing for many, many, many years. I mean, since I was a teenager, probably. And I think I had to kind of settle and realize that this is where my strength is. And this brings in a lot of the other things that I want to practice. And a lot of the other things that I find, you know, myself drawn to, I can experience through astrology and, you know, through helping other people. Although I am the world's worst astrologer because I don't like to look at my own chart. I don't want to know what's happening to me. I'll just help other people. That's fine. Terrible. But when it comes to working with like spirits and things, that's not something that I've really dipped my toe into. I feel apprehensive about that. I don't even know how to start, you know?
I have zero apprehension. Please just let it happen to me. I don't understand why I can't have a spiritual encounter.
I know.
Spirit.
Kelly, we're in
it's
a year of weird right
I
now.
Want.
We're having a year of weird with Brittany. We're trying to get her in contact with some sort of spirit. It's all that she wants. She just finally had a past lives reading that resonated with her. So that's good. But all she wants is for something to come through for her. So Do you have any tips on how to speed that shit up?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think I'm irritating everybody because it's all I talk about.
We're like, Brittany, I just don't understand. It's just happening for the rest of us. So we got to get her in spirit.
Yeah. So stop trying so hard because it's that trying energy. I know, right? The last thing you want to hear, but it's like, it's that trying energy that will keep those experiences at bay because we get up in our head about it.
That's true.
And we're like, oh, I'm doing everything right. I'm lighting the candles. I have the incense. I'm, you know, doing all the things properly and it's not happening. And that, like, that energy is really contractive and that can shut down our intuition and our ability to really get those messages coming through and those experiences happening.
I'm for sure doing all those things. And feel like I'm doing everything right, but I'm definitely just overshooting things here. Maybe they're trying and I just can't even hear them at this point because all of the paraphernalia I've spread around to make this happen is just too loud.
Because you need to reduce your phone time by 12 minutes, not 6 minutes. That's what. Okay. Did you guys talk yet about intuition? Trusting your intuition? Mm-hmm. You did? Okay. What about, hold on. Oh, okay. Have you talked about imposter syndrome?
No.
Okay, Kelly, I'm having a major case of imposter syndrome. I know Brittany has imposter syndrome all the time. I'm always hype girling her. Tracy White, same thing, imposter syndrome. What is the deal with women and imposter syndrome and how can we make that stop?
So there's two really interesting things about imposter syndrome. The first one is it tends to happen when we're really, really good at what we do and it comes easily because it's like, this shouldn't be so easy. Like it's almost wrong to be successful doing something that comes to me this easily. So that's one side of it. So just owning how amazing you are and doing the work around knowing that you get to get paid well for something that isn't hard work for you. Cause yes, we work, but it doesn't have to be this weird struggle sacrifice. It can be done in a really good way. And then the other side of that is when we're doing stuff that we know, that imposter syndrome becomes a lot less of a big deal because we have the evidence. So as a coach, if you're doing something that you've led yourself through or you've helped other people do, you're in full integrity. Like there's no weird energetic things going on there. So the imposter syndrome won't be that strong. It's when we feel like we need to be more to more people than what we really feel called to do. So say, for example, I decided right now to run like a relationship program. Have I been in relationships? Healthy ones, not so healthy ones? Yeah, I'm sure I could speak about it, but I don't feel like that's like a thing that I would fully embody right now. I don't feel like I'm fully embodying that in order to teach it. So if I were to do that, I'd probably feel like a bit of an imposter. Whereas I just sort of like figure if we stay in our own lane and we just focus on the stuff that we're good at, we're always going to be growing, always going to be expanding, and we can bring more elements into the work that we do. But when we just stay in our lane and focus on our strengths and don't get distracted by the different things that we could be doing, that imposter syndrome thing just becomes such a small piece because it might pop up every once in a while, but we have this evidence that we've done it or we've helped other people do the things. And when our mind's presented with that evidence, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I'll shut up now. And it'll kind of, the imposter syndrome will go away.
There we go.
So it's kind of like that comparison is the thief of joy situation.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Absolutely.
I do it that is. All the time.
I think I also have to just constantly remind myself that the table is big enough for more than just me to sit at the fucking table, right? Like there's going to be other advertising agencies all the time. They're not taking anything from me. We can both have good work too. Okay. We all just want to know how to manifest more money. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Just tell us how to get more money, Kelly, please. That's all we want. The whole fucking world just wants more money.
So the first step is stop trying.
Oh, shit. Every month I'm writing a check to the universe and doing all this shit and lighting candles everywhere. All I want is more money.
This I think is what we were talking about earlier where I'm like, man, I just feel like I'm manifesting wrong because nothing's like panning out. It's because I'm doing all of those things that like everybody says I should do online and they don't actually materialize to anything. So yeah. I'm like, well,
I'm writing $10,000 in my bank account 55 times for 5 days in a fucking row. Like I'm sick of it. Like how do we manifest more money? Stop trying. Got it. All right, fine.
So the really big thing is to get into the energy of what it would be like with that $10,000 in your bank account. Right. And so it can be really helpful to detach from a number, especially like with money, so many of us get caught up in our head.
That is so funny because other people are like, you have to pick a solid number. And you're like, okay, it's $1 million. I picked $1 million, what, 2 years ago? And while 3 years ago, maybe. And while I'm getting closer to becoming a millionaire for sure, it fucking sucks. Like, why isn't this easier to become a millionaire? So you're saying just let go of the fucking $1 million. Listen, I'm going to be a darling fucking millionaire one day. Why can I not have it now? I feel like the blueberry girl in the Willy Wonka chocolate factory.
That Kelly Dawn and your therapist are giving you the exact same advice.
Listen, my therapist is always like, what's wrong with $250,000? That's a lot of money. And I'm like, it's not $1 million. And so yeah, I struggle with it. I just don't know why I can't be a millionaire, Kelly. Just let it go. Just let the thought go.
Yeah. So for some people, having that solid number is helpful for them. And like, we're all wired a little bit differently. So some people work really well with those nice hard number goals. But what I found is that playing around in the energy of like, what are you going to feel like when you're a millionaire? So when you get out of bed, are you going to be like, say, anxiously checking your phone? Or when you're, you know, where's your mind going to be going throughout the day? Because the version of us who's in that millionaire lifestyle, they're thinking a little bit differently. And they're not necessarily doing different things, but they're doing those things in a different energy, in a different vibe. And they wouldn't be worried about the $1 million. And they wouldn't be saying like, where the fuck is $1 million? Cause they'd already have it. So it's about catching ourselves in the moment and just noticing what's going on internally. And are we feeling anxious? Are we in this energy of like lack and scarcity and where the hell is it? Or are we in this energy of like, I'm so happy and grateful for absolutely everything I have going on right now. And wouldn't it be absolutely amazing if this experience was happening right around the corner for me? And just, it's that leaned back energy and knowing and trusting that we're going to get there when we're aligned with it. And so, yes, we're going to be taking action, doing the work and all that, that practical stuff. But the majority of the work is just releasing the tension and that like constrictive, contractive energy we can get caught up into when we're trying to manifest something. Because it's that whole trying energy that actually repels it, because our mind sees that as, oh, we're not there yet. There's this gap. Where if we just lean back and we just play around in like a, it's almost like living in a fantasy world as often as you can, like a few minutes throughout the day, playing in that fantasy of being a millionaire and allowing yourself to just feel that in like every cell of your body. And that's why things like vision boards can be helpful, because that gives people the opportunity to look at images and we can get lost in those images, just like we can watching TV shows and movies. And doing things like going to the BMW dealership, if that's the dream car you're manifesting, and smelling like the leather of the car and feeling your hands on the steering wheel and things like that. All that does is just move us closer into the energy and make it more real for us. And that's the big thing with manifestation, is basically tricking ourselves that we already have what we want, so we can just chill the fuck out and just relax. And then it will come to us a lot easier.
I clearly have all the tools to make this happen.
I don't know why you haven't done it yet.
My husband tells me regularly how much of a fantasy world I live in and pertaining to my account. And I just didn't realize at the time that I was doing work by doing that. Like, he should be thanking me because I am bringing wealth to us. Yeah. This morning, I just sent him a picture of a hot tub and was like, for my birthday. And he was like, what? This seems a little... of an extravagant gift, but what I'm doing is really trying to just move us up a tax bracket.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I got him to agree to every other week having our house cleaned, because I was like, millionaires don't clean their own houses, Sean. We hire someone to come and clean the houses. And he doesn't believe me, so I don't get it very often, because it is expensive for us and it costs a lot of money. But I'm easing him in to the millionaire lifestyle, even though we cannot afford it.
Yet. Every week I have these lofty goals of meal planning, ordering groceries, and preparing healthy food under budget for my family. And then I make it to maybe midweek and the leftovers from the healthy Monday meal are gone. All I want to do is order a pizza and definitely want to forget about the $40 worth of produce going bad in my fridge. If that all sounds painfully familiar to you, it might be time to try EveryPlate. With EveryPlate, you get meals that you'll enjoy and your bank account will love delivered right to your door. That's contactless delivery, which is great. Every Plate dinners are the cheaper alternative to takeout or delivery. They're called America's Best Value Meal Kit for a reason. All of their recipes come together in about 30 minutes, which is definitely faster than the process of deciding on a meal, going to the store, and then making something from scratch. Less time deciding what to cook means more time enjoying good food with your family. I've tried meal kits before and the cost just never really made it a long-term option for our family, but with Every Plate, you can get the same delicious, healthy meals at a much lower price. Everyone I know who tries Every Plate is surprised at how affordable it really is. Even at full price, Every Plate is up to 58% cheaper than most of the major meal kits out there. The best part is that the food is actually really good. We've been using Every Plate for, I think, almost a year now, and we love them in this family. Just last night, we made the Panko Ranch pork chops, which is a favorite here in the house. It's so good, even the six-year-old eats all of it, okay? Also, not having to decide slash argue about what to cook every single night has pretty much saved my marriage, so this meal service more than pays for itself in the couple's therapy cost savings alone, okay? With our special offer, you can try Every Plate for just $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes by going to everyplate.com and entering code GLOWGIRL199. That's up to $100 value, guys. That's $1.99 per meal, plus an additional 20% off your next two boxes by going to everyplate.com, entering code GLOWGIRL199. Everyplate.com, code GLOWGIRL199.
So, Kelly, what do you have coming up here? Workshops? What are you selling? How can they work with you one-on-one? What do you got going on?
I haven't even announced this publicly yet, but I have the beginning of May coming out with the Bold Witch Business School. So that's going to be a program that's a mix of like mindset, strategy, energetics for anyone who wants to grow their service-based spiritual business. So that is the thing coming up. I'm releasing the branding later on today. So super excited about it.
I have a question for you. I love all of your courses, but I do have some friends that maybe don't own their own businesses or aren't so much in like a sort of hustle type lifestyle, but they can still find really great value in these classes. Like they can pertain it to so many different parts of their life, right?
Yeah. So the program I have that's not for entrepreneurs and it's not running live right now, it's called Manifest and it's super general. But what I talk about like on the podcast and most of my content can be applied to any area of life because the majority of it is around like personal power, energy, and mindset. So that kind of goes across all areas, no matter what you want help with.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Good. And Kelly Dawn's podcast is called Awaken Your Inner Witch. It's very good. You guys should subscribe. She charts on iTunes all the time under spirituality. I see her in there. So good job, Kelly. Keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
And you have a Facebook group as well that people can join, right?
Yeah, the Witch Revolution over on Facebook.
Okay.
Highly recommend that group.
Yes, it's a wonderful group. Everyone in there is so helpful.
Yes. And it kind of stays on topic all the time, which I like. So you can go in there and ask questions.
People
help you. They want to be helpful because they know what the topic is that we're all here to talk about. Yeah. So that's good.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Kelly, thank you so much for being here this week. It was so great to have you.
Thanks so much.
Yes. Thank you, guys. Make sure to tune into Kelly's podcast, Awaken Your Inner Witch. Fantastic content. Be sure to tune in next week for a brand new episode of Glow Girl. Jo will be back with us and we'll talk more with her about another fascinating topic. You can find us Glow Girl Podcasts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Glow Girl Pod. Make sure you catch the rest of the Girls Girls Media Multiverse of Podcasts too. On Mondays, we've got Issues Girl. Tuesdays are for Edible Encounters. Thursdays are our flagship Girls Girls podcast show with Brittany and Meredith. And weekends are for the kid-friendly family road trip trivia pod. There is something here for everyone. Also, membership has opened up for our Girls Girls Community Facebook group. It is now free to join the best little ladies group on the whole internet. I'm there. Brittany and Meredith are there. All the rest of our Girls Girls Media hosts are in there spending all of our time in our favorite little social media haven. So come be our friends. Just look for Girls Girls Community on Facebook and be sure to answer the questions when you request membership. We will see you there. Glow Girl is a production of Girls Girls Media and our music today is by the amazing Breakmaster Cylinder. Shine bright, Glow Girls.